So, Chris, I read in the notes to the film that you considered a few different settings before finally setting on Civil War, early 1860s, India, or maybe the 1970s. The story I could see could work in some of those other settings, but what finally led you to set it in the time period and the place in which you did?
Sure. Well, I always sort of work backwards from the themes and the emotions that I want to get at. And so what I try and do is find the setting and the characters that are going to most highlight those emotions and themes. So some of the themes in this film have to do with, you know, big life decisions, surrogate families, the meaning of family, and also kind of reevaluating our lives to see if we're actually doing what's best for ourselves and those we care about, or if we're just going with the flow and just sort of adhering to the societal norms without really, really reevaluating what it is that we're doing and the decisions that we're making. So to get at all those issues, I thought about contemporary Texas. I thought about India in the 1970s, places that are dear to me, times that are interesting to me. But I just ended up settling in on just what I think is the perfect setting, which is 1864, Northern Virginia. And when you think about surrogate families and difficult decisions and people being torn apart and trying to find ways to make connections in an isolated world, war, the aftermath of slavery, being in isolated locations out in the countryside where there's no cell phones that can save the day. All these things, I think, really, really highlight those emotions I spoke of earlier.
What is it about the surrogate family and the parent-child relationship that interests you? Because there's one in August Evening. There's a great one here in The Truth Retrieval as well.
Sure. It might seem strange, but I had a wonderful, perfect relationship with my family. But I've always really enjoyed mentors that I've found throughout life, usually in academic or settings that related to my filmmaking. And now I'm enjoying being on both sides. You know, sometimes I'm learning, sometimes I'm teaching. I think also something interesting about these surrogate families is that the film crew for me often becomes a surrogate family. We all sort of drop out of society together for form this little commune, often in very remote locations to shoot the film. We cook together, clean together, a lot of people sleeping on air mattresses. And so it's wonderful to see these relationships develop during the shoot, and it sort of bleeds over into the emotions that come out on screen.
And, you know, at the end of the shoot also, you all have to separate. Yeah. At the same time as a family.
Yeah, it's a very bizarre experience, and I've heard a lot of people on film sheets talk about this, is you're just best friends with someone every day for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and then they go back to New York or Los Angeles or, you know, the other city on the other side of Texas, and you often won't see them again until the premiere 2 years later. So I'm actually witnessing that right now as all the actors and crew come back into Austin for the premiere.
Let me ask you about your two main actors who are playing Nate and Will in the picture, and Ashton Sanders and Tishwin Scott. And tell me about the relationship that they developed, because they have to develop a relationship in order to show up on screen. How do they do that on the set in order to create this wonderful on-screen surrogate father-son relationship?
Sure. Well, we did not shoot completely in order, but I tried to shoot as much as possible in chronological order, so that their relationship could develop over the course of the shoot. Definitely tried to save, you know, the climax of the film, the emotional ending, tried to save that for later in the shoot, so they would have had built up that natural chemistry. Tishan plays the sort of, I guess, surrogate father figure in the film, and he is naturally a teacher and a mentor, and so you got to see that relationship build offset, and they were actually staying in the same house in the small town. So I think all those things just they come together naturally. You don't have to force it. It's the life that we were living.
Mm-hmm. So in the story itself, briefly describe what has Will, the young man, experienced before the story is set into motion.
Well, in my films, I almost never give backstory. I tend to just let things unfold, starting with the first frame, and let people sort of piece things together.
I think you can see it in his clothes somewhat, too, in the way he carries himself.
Sure. No, he's been through a lot. Things sort of drip out over the course of the film as far as information on backstory, and so you find out that that his farm where he was formerly enslaved, he's not enslaved in this film, but that farm had been destroyed by the Union Army, and so all he has in this life is this bounty hunter gang of it's just full of bad influences and inappropriate father figures, including his uncle Marcus, who pretty much acts as the only family and role model that the boy has at the beginning, and so he has to learn, you know, that there are other types of people in the world.
And Will has to make a hard choice in the film at one point, and he even asks Nate if he's going to go to hell for doing something, because he knows it may be wrong, but he feels like he's really kind of painted into a corner, I think. And ultimately, you know, it's out of his hands, I suppose. But what changes does he go through over the course of the narrative?
Well, I think he's exposed to someone who makes decisions not purely based on selfish intentions or in the immediate sort of satisfaction, or he actually witnesses someone who is a different type of person, and he even says that in the film. He says, "I've never seen a man like that." And, you know, his bounty hunter partner says, "Yeah, he's different because he's worth more." But the boy is able to understand that Nate is a different type of person who could actually show him a better way to live.
Talk about the film itself and the way it's put together here. About in 2011, let's just reference our own audience for Texas Public Radio here. Late in that year, we had a test screening of the film back when it was known as September Morning. And the audience, I wanted to know kind of what kind of feedback they gave you on it and how that influenced your construction of the final product, the final film.
I like to have these preview screenings with audiences around Texas before we finalize the film. Not because it's the Hollywood process of decision by committee or trying to make everybody happy, but you just want to make sure that the audience understands what's going on. You just want to make sure that just because things are clear to us, that they actually see the knife in the frame, or that they understand that crucial line of dialogue. And, you know, these are the things that I'm looking for, to make sure people aren't confused or you know, upset. And so, you know, we actually had multiple endings of the film. We didn't test them. We just did one because we decided that was the film we wanted to make. So it wasn't about that type of test. And of course, we did learn things such as my actors and the way that I direct them can be very mumbly and difficult to understand with these accents and mannerisms that I've given them. And so, you know, we took that into consideration and reworked the film and the sound mix to make sure people could understand some of the crucial lines and sentiments.
Did shooting in rural Texas, how did that influence the film, not only in terms of its design, but also, I mean, what did it really help with budget, too? I mean, you know, in the way it was put together.
Well, you have to go really far out there to get away from all the noise, from all the cars driving by, the airplanes, the not seeing power lines. And so once you get out there, you're focused on the film. And it's in a location that I'm very comfortable with, because I grew up in a town of 100 people, and my childhood was just sort of running through the woods, creating trails and exploring and feeling very comfortable out in nature. Obviously, it's a little different from my actors from Los Angeles, but everyone kind of eased into it and came to really love these locations. I never intend for my films to look beautiful or glossy or anything like that, but it's just difficult. Even if you're in the dead of winter, it's difficult to make Texas look ugly. And so I just sort of went with it. And my cinematographer, Yasu Tanida, and I would just be out there in the space, and we would frame the shot up, and we'd say, why make this ugly and gritty when we're surrounded by all this beautiful Texas landscape?
Well, you San Antonio looked so beautiful in August evening. I don't think I had seen it look quite so beautiful on film before as in that movie. And for this one, you've got great shots of great beauty, even though they are just kind of monochromatic, I think, in a lot of the colors that are on screen as well. But it's that wonderful landscape that you have out there. So, you know, kudos to your DP. Yeah. So also I wanted to ask about a few of the beats that you have in the movie as well, because you're dealing with a subject matter that has, you know, that's, and a plot that has a lot of tension in it, you know, and there's a crucial decision that's coming to a head at the film, but yet there's these wonderful pauses and beats every now and then in the movie where, Will meets Abby, a young girl, and they have a little moment together where they speak, or when Nate goes back and is going to go meet his woman that he had left a long time ago, and sees the current man who's with her right there, and there's a humorous exchange there as well, and they add some kind of relief of the tension, I think.
I mean, part of it's relief of tension. Also, some of it is the fact that I'm trying to get people to connect with the story and with the characters. And you can have all the suspense in the world, but without these little human moments, without these little disappointments and miniature triumphs and little connections that you make, all that suspense can sort of just seem empty. And so, yeah, I like to mix the two, and that's what I'm doing differently about this film. Is I have these hooks, I have these elements of genre, I have the elements of Western, of suspense, of war movie, of road movie, all these types of things. But at heart, it's an emotional drama.
I don't know if I've spoken to you on microphone, at least since the whole phenomenon with August Evening and winning a Cassavetes Award at the Spirit Awards. What was that experience like for you?
I'm not going to say surreal, because people always say that. But
surreal is like melting fish and yeah, things like that.
I'm not going to say that. It was wonderful. It was really exciting. I could not believe how many people connected with what initially seemed like such a personal story. But the more we dug into it, the more we saw that, you know, all families are the same, and I think people hopefully will feel that way about this film as well.
Good. Well, thank you, Chris, for your hard work and this wonderful artistry in The Retrieval. I really enjoyed the film, and thanks for letting Texas Public Radio be a part of it as well.
Thanks so much for having me. Good.